Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to Barry Odom, head coach of the Missouri Tigers, for coming on the show. Mizzou, South Carolina, Saturday night, ESPN2, 6 o'clock. I'll be down there with the boys. Let's do it. Now we have on the show Mr. Rustin Dodd. Hello, Rustin. How are you?
Stephen, I'm doing well. You always ask me about music, and
yes.
Jake is playing the new War on Drugs album as the bump music, and that might be my favorite album of the year. So I would you should check it out if you haven't. It's a deeper understanding. Is their first album in like 4 years, but it's tremendous.
All right, and so this is right now. This is your front runner for album of the year.
So far, I mean, there might be a few others that are kind of in that category. The National is another favorite band of mine. Has an album coming out tomorrow. Friday maybe, I don't know. It's this week, so I'm anxiously awaiting that one too.
Do you have more excitement or less excitement than what you experienced when Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift, recently released her new album?
That song was not, it was instantly panned on the internet, which was interesting. The chorus was awful, but it was kind of fascinating to watch. But actually, I thought that like the rest of the song just sounded like a normal Taylor Swift song. I didn't quite understand all of the venom towards that song, but it was a kind of a strange left turn in the chorus, and I'm not sure I, you know, need to hear it all that much more again, if that makes any sense. This is much more interesting conversation than the Royals, I think.
Right. Yeah, well said.
Yeah, let's stick with it.
Well said. Well done review of Taylor Swift's new song by Rustin Dodd.
I'm not sure I need to hear much more of it. I think that's the takeaway right there.
Mm-hmm. I don't even mind Taylor Swift. I mean, I think her personality can be kind of grating from time to time, but as a musician and a pop star, she's hard to argue with. She generally doesn't put out, you know, bad songs, in my opinion, but that one was, I think, a swing and a miss.
I will say that she has some songs that I really like, but the song Bad Blood is one of the worst songs in American history.
He said he mispronounced best, but I will say this. She's very good live, as I had a chance to take my daughter to see Selena Gomez and Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. All against my will, Rustin, just to make my daughters happy. So I just try to do whatever I can, Rustin. I'd like to go to a concert with you sometime. I don't know when, if the National or the War on Drugs are coming to town anytime soon. Let us know. We could have a big show outing. Well, you sound excited about that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, just can't wait. Oh, boy. Calm down,
Rustin.
He was
looking at his calendar to make sure it was available.
Right.
Yeah.
He was, okay, yes. I'll take that. Rustin, now, he said you were looking at your calendar just now. Were you looking at the roster or the scorecard trying to figure out who the hell plays for the Detroit Tigers now?
A little bit. They started Artie Lewicki on Monday night. I full disclosure, I had not heard of him. And then last night when Anibal Sanchez got knocked out of the game and Miles J came to the game, that sounded like a jazz musician or something. They've got like a young core of players who are starting to kind of come of age. I don't know if that might be the right way to put it, but they have been sort of growing some prospects in their farm system, although it hasn't necessarily seemed like that because of what they've done at the major league level in terms of keeping their veterans around. But, it's not. I guess it's not the kind of roster you want to give up six home runs to. That would be kind of stating the obvious.
I just like that statement because you don't really want to give up six home runs to anybody. But yeah, this roster in particular is a rough one. What is wrong with Jason Vargas, I know you intimated quite a bit in your article that perhaps the workload has finally gotten to him. Do you feel like that's the case?
Well, I mean, I guess I can't say that for certain. You know, he said last night that he didn't want to use that as an excuse, and he's felt good his last two outings. And I mean, I think part of it is just he was never going to be as great as he was during the first half. You know, everything just kind of came together for a perfect couple of months. But I don't know that, you know, you expected him to have this sort of regression where he has, I think, an 8.13 ERA over his last 11 starts. So I think it's a combination of, you know, obviously he was going to come back to life, or come back to earth, I should say, to use my metaphors a little bit better. That I think the workload, I mean, it has to be some sort of factor. I mean, he threw 32 innings last year, 12 at the major league level, you know, 20-some innings in the minors as a rehab assignment, if you want to count those innings. You know, this year he went through a full spring training. He's over 150, and it did seem once he hit over that 100-inning mark in August, he hasn't been as fine. And when you're talking about a guy who has to be almost perfect with his luck command in order to be effective at pitching at 86 miles an hour, I mean, just a little bit of fatigue or just a little bit of discomfort or whatever you want to call it, you know, turns, you know, 4 or 5 mistakes a game into 8 or 10, and then maybe the team, instead of, you know, missing on those 4 or 5 mistakes and not making him pay, now they have more opportunities, and it just is going to compound into big innings like it has recently. I mean, he said last night that he hasn't pitched well with runners on base, and that he's been too predictable in terms of his, I think he used the word mannerisms on the mound, and also just his pitch sequencing, and he needs to be better at that. But I'm not sure. I mean, does that explain, you know, going out and getting, you know, bombed for 7 runs in an inning? Could there be kind of multiple things going on? That's what I think the most likely explanation would be.
Rustin Dodd is our guest. All right, Rustin, let's talk about some other pitchers and whether or not they are going to pitch again this year. First of all, Kelvin Herrera, it appears that he is available, but give us an update on what they've said this latest problem was with Kelvin Herrera and how they might handle him moving forward. And then, if you would, just update us on Danny Duffy and Joaquin Soria and when we might see them again.
Yeah, Kelvin Herrera, he was diagnosed with a low-grade forearm strain. He had an MRI that confirmed it. And essentially, I think it kind of what it was, you know, it's like sort of that flexor muscle, kind of, and not in your elbow area, but like kind of the flexor tendons kind of near your wrist. I don't know if you ever kind of just tweaked that where you kind of, it's like your grip strength comes from that area. I think he strained, you know, a flexor in there, and it had been like that for a while. But once, when, you know, the Royals trainer Nick Kinney said once he would be in a game and throw, you know, 20 to 25 to 30 pitches, it would start to get, that flexor tendon, which was strained, would just start to get worn down, and then he would lose a little bit of his motor functions in his hand, which is why we saw the command maybe be a little bit shaky later in innings after maybe a base runner reached or something like that. So they wanted to give him 3 days to try to get that kind of cleared up and get that out of there. Kelvin threw yesterday in the afternoon and said he felt normal. So he was available last night, and I think he'll be back closing. Now, I know he hasn't been his best self as of late, but when you look at their bullpen, I mean, they need guys at the back end, whether it's Scott Alexander, Kelvin Herrera, whoever. I mean, they just need reliable arms back there. So I don't think you definitely are glad he is back. We'll see how that tendon holds up if he gets into a long inning again. And then as far as Danny Duffy, he's throwing off the mound for the first time this afternoon. And the Royals, as of now, Ned Yost told me yesterday that they're planning on him pitching again this year, and that is the plan as of now. The reason I say as of now is I just sort of wonder, and this is more just speculation on my part, if they do find themselves, you know, quote-unquote out of it in the next week or two, you know, do they take their foot off the gas pedal in terms of Duffy and then go ahead and just shut him down? I think, I mean, that seems like a smart thing to do. But then again, they're only two and a half out of the wild card right now, so it's not like they're going to, you know, wake up in a week and find themselves totally out of it, I don't think. So, you know, Danny Duffy said yesterday he was hopeful he would miss just three starts, which would mean that he would miss a good start again on Thursday and then potentially, I guess, be back next week. That seems maybe a little bit over-aggressive. So I think if you look, start to look mid-week next week or even, you know, 5 days from there, let's say it's another start, I guess maybe that could be when he would be could be a possibility back in the rotation.
So on the Danny Duffy front, and you gave us that speculation on your part that, you know, you wondered last week if they might shut him down. From the DUI situation, there's been video that's been put out now of his car at the Burger King, and pictures of it that were taken by some of the employees there. When Alberto Chiasso got a DUI, they, like, sent him to rehab, if I remember correctly. And I think Dayton Moore even alluded to that in the press conference. Is there any – have they had any discussion about – are they – what's happening, I guess? I'll just leave it open-ended like that. Are they doing anything, or is this just a let it run its course, he's going to fight it, and we can't do anything until we see what happens with the case?
I mean, I think that's – every indication is that I've gotten is that that's what's happening, is that they're going to let the legal course – run it or legal process run its course, and could Danny Duffy still face some punishment from the league and or the Royals? I suppose that's he could, but I'm not sure you're going to see any premature sort of punishment before the legal process, you know, run like is until there's a potential conviction or or some sort of settlement. I don't even know what the proper legal process would be, a diversion, or I don't know what the DUI policies are in Kansas. I guess I should. No, I mean, I just think right now it's all kind of status quo in terms of him trying to get healthy and pitch again this year. And then, you know, the way the policy is in Major League Baseball is that Danny Duffy is going to be referred to a quote-unquote treatment board, and he could be recommended to, you know, face, you know, alcohol counseling or something of that nature, but it's all voluntary. So when you look at, you know, the agreement and the collective bargaining agreement and how it all works, you know, it's in terms of the policy on DUI, as we've said before, there's really no set policy, so it is kind of open-ended on what might be the final outcome there.
Rustin Dodd is our guest, and we'll see if we see Danny Duffy back on the mound again this year. But that leads to the next question. Tell us about this man who is scheduled to start for the Royals in Game 1 of the Minnesota series.
Well, he's not scheduled as of yet, but he is. Ned Yost said he's an option, and I don't know who else would be an option. So I think Sam Gaviglio is his name. It's the G is silent. It looks like Gaviglio, but it's Gaviglio. He was started, I think, 11 or 12 games for the Mariners this year. Had an ERA in the low fours. Spent most of his year at Class AAA Tacoma. Had a decent year there as well. Got caught in a numbers crunch in Seattle. The Royals obviously needed pitching depth, so they claimed him off waivers. He is a distant relative of Ralph Houk, the former Yankees manager, I believe, is from Lawrence, Kansas. So there's a trivia fact for you, Stephen. But no, I mean, they need a starting pitcher, and I guess it's just this is another. I mean, they did start Onelky Garcia last weekend, so this is another example of their lack of depth, in part because of injuries, in part because of young prospects who have gotten hurt, in part because of somebody, you know, like Eric Skoglund has struggled in his cameos. So it looks like he's right now is the option for them, unless they come up with something else. I would expect he starts on Thursday, and we will see what he has.
Rustin, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and to have a safe trip back to Kansas City.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Rustin Dodd, who covers the Royals for the Kansas City Star, joins us every week right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.